Creation goes its ever-wide Drogon and Dashin Lajir Parsho Yagur Ramadhyatami
Sange
Shalam Sokhi Shalmala Janshur Vardir Agni Katsuchi Daki Shunyan Gipe Sunamki Sangye Jupasho
So Geshe-la has an appointment with his lama, so he sent me as his ambassador. I'm gonna teach you how to do Tonglen. I think a lot of you know it, but a lot of you are new and you don't know it. It's a review for those of you who do know it and something new for the rest of you. And I thought we would go over the preliminaries, because I think Geshe-la hasn't done that yet this retreat. So it may be helpful for everyone to learn them again. Okay. It'll be a short class. Okay. What? Oh. Are you laughing because I'm short? It's totally a short joke. Is it? Do you guys mind? Is it okay if I sit down here? I don't really feel very comfortable to be on the throne. Someone was telling me that was like the opposite of arrogance, and it was a kind of arrogance, so pride, I don't know. Anyway, I'll just sit here. You can see me. Me and my ego can deal with it later. Just kidding! Does anyone need to blow their nose? So watch your breath. Try to count 10 breaths without losing your focus. You probably won't make it past 3. If your mind wanders, just come back to 1. Invite your Lama to come sit with you. If you don't have a Lama, think of the person in the world or in history who you respect the most. Could be Jesus or His Holiness, Martin Luther King. Just somebody who you want to be like. When you invite your teacher to be with you, they have to come. So see them walk into the room and they sit right in front of you, close, their knees are touching your knees, and they're very, very, very happy to see you. If you can visualize their whole face, that's great. If you can only see their eyes, that's okay. If you can just see a silhouette, that's okay too. Then bow down to them. The best way to bow down to your teacher is just think of a quality they have that you wish you had. It could be their wisdom or their ability to understand other people or the love they have for all their students or their patients. Just think of one. Then present them with an offering. It could be anything. It could be the sky full of flowers, or it could be your favorite piece of music. It could be their favorite meal. They say the best one is to offer some of your practice, so you could offer all the efforts you've been making during this retreat. Then think about something you've done in the last 24 hours that you're not very proud of. Maybe a negative thought you had about someone else. Or if you hurt somebody. Then confess that to your teacher. And just feel some sense of regret about it, not guilt, just regret. You're sorry you did it. You understand it will block you from reaching your goals. And make a promise to not do it again, at least for a while. At least, if it's hard for you, just promise you won't do it again until the end of this meditation. And equally important is to rejoice in something you've done in the last 24 hours. Some kindness you showed to someone else, or some time you spent thinking about emptiness. And then offer that to your Lama. And rejoice in something really cool you saw someone else doing. Then beg your Lama to stay with you forever. They say that the Lama stays as long as you ask them to stay, so never forget to ask them to stay. And then beg them to continue teaching. Again, as long as you keep asking, I'll keep teaching you. I like to pause here just for a minute and think about how lucky we are to have these teachings. You could think what it would be like to not have these teachings, then it'll remind you how much you should be begging your teacher to continue to teach you. So now for the real meditation. This is called Tonglen, means giving and taking. It's kind of a lengthy visualization. If you need to switch positions, you can just shift around a bit. Thank you. to your breath for a sec. So this, I'll just talk for a sec about this meditation. You can keep your eyes closed. This is a really good way to open your heart. And do you have someone in your life who you feel like you're incapable of helping them? Maybe they live too far away, or maybe they have like terminal cancer, or maybe they're like a drug addict or an alcoholic, or maybe they're schizophrenic. You can use this meditation to help them, and I'm gonna cry. I am Geshe Law's student. Okay, I used to do this meditation on my dad before he died. And then he had a bad death, but I think Geshe and I both felt he had an easy time in the bardo and that he got a good human rebirth. So I think this meditation is very powerful, very difficult to be a Buddhist and then to feel like you're unable to help someone who needs your help. So then you should do this meditation. This is how you really help people. So think of the one person in your life you know who's suffering the most. And then imagine you're sitting in a room with them and they can't see you, but you can see them. So maybe they're in a hospital bed or in a nursing home or sitting at the local bar, or you know, maybe they're just sitting on their couch watching TV and, you know, eating potato chips. But imagine you're sitting there with them and just watch them for a minute and really think about what their pain is. You know, is it a physical pain, or is it like an emotional pain? And try to just get some sense in yourself of what they're feeling. And then imagine that you have like a little red rose sitting in the area where your heart is, kind of close to the backbone, kind of further back than where you really normally think your heart was. And inside the rose is a diamond, and it's luminous, bright, very shiny. And the rose is your love and your compassion for this person. It's the thing in you that makes you cringe when you think of their suffering. And then the diamond is your wisdom and your understanding of emptiness, which makes you see where their suffering comes from in the first place. And you should try to make the rose and the diamond very, very, very small, as small as you can. It'll help you a lot with your concentration. And then you're looking at your friend or your parent or your boss or whoever it is, and imagine that their pain... Imagine you have these special eyes that can see inside their body, and that their pain is manifesting inside their body as like this black gook. It's like black tar, it's diseased, it's really yucky. And you really want to get it out of them. So you're going to use your breath, and then with your breath, you're going to start to draw all this gook that's in them, and you can draw it into the area of their heart. If you can't breathe through your nose right now, just breathe through your mouth. And then make sure you get all of this sadness or disease. You're drawing it from their fingers and their toes and their ears and their stomach, and it all coalesces into this little black ball of gook sitting at their heart. Just make sure you get all of it. And I'm just going to talk about the next step, so don't do it yet until I say to do it. So you're sitting in the room with your friend, and you've drawn all of their illness into that area of their heart. So the next thing you're going to do is you're going to take a deep breath in, and you're going to draw it into yourself. And it's going to come up through their body and out their nose, and then it's going to come in through your breath, in through your nose or your mouth, if you're breathing through your mouth today. And it's going to drop down to that area in your heart where the diamond and the rose are. And as soon as it drops down into your heart, there's going to be this huge flash of light from the diamond, and all their pain and all their suffering is going to be destroyed. So it's very, very important when you draw it in that you destroy it. You don't want to keep any of the illness in yourself. And sometimes when I do this meditation on someone who's like really, really, really sick, I find like I'm hesitating. I don't really want to take in their disease. So that's good. That means you're really thinking about the practice hard. But you don't have to worry, because it's going to come into you and it's going to, bam, when I go like that, the light in your heart is going to destroy it, and there won't be anything bad left in you. So on the count of three, taking a deep breath. It's going to come up through their body, out their nose, in through your nose, and then it's going to sink into the level of your heart, and the diamond's going to destroy it. Okay? And then I'll snap my fingers and you'll know, make sure it's all destroyed. So, one, two, three. And then your body gets filled with this amazing golden light. And any residual ickiness comes out, pours out of your ears and your nose, like the smoke, kind of thin, wispy smoke. And now your body is shining with golden light because you did this incredibly kind, virtuous thing for your friend. And you look at your friend, and all of a sudden their cancer is gone, or their drinking problem's gone, or suddenly they can think straight for the first time in their life, or their heart is suddenly healed, and they just look relieved, and they look like 20 years younger, and they have no idea why they suddenly feel this amazing relief. And then all this golden light that's pouring out of you starts to pour into them. And just take a second to enjoy how happy your friend looks. So that was the taking part. The next part is the giving part, and it's super, super fun. So this is where you just think about anything that your friend would want. And, you know, it could be anything. It could be, you know, they want money, they want a stuffed animal, they want a partner, they want their current partner to be nice to them, they want flowers, they want to see emptiness directly, they want a llama. Just whatever you could possibly think that they would want, use your breath and send it to them. So you just watch as your friend gets happier and happier, and you can smile because you're really happy, because they're so happy. And the cool thing about this meditation is there's no limit to what you can give them because it's just in your imagination. So I always like to turn them into a Buddha. And then they're this enlightened being sitting in front of you, and you're glowing in golden light. And this meditation is very powerful. So, think in your mind, dedicate the power to understanding these teachings and understanding emptiness so that you can really go out and help all the billions of people on our planet. And that Lama who was sitting in front of you, they're still there, and they're so happy with you. And they start to get very, very, very small, and they rise up to the tip of your head. Sometimes you can feel like a little pressure on the top of your head when they go and sit up there. And then they sink down your central channel, and they go to sit at that place in your heart where that diamond and the rose were. And then anytime during the day that you're having any trouble, or you're really having trouble with this emptiness thing, or you just feel a little sad or lonely, you can just you can call on your Lama in your heart, and they're always there for you. So that was like 35 minutes, which I think is longer than we've done yet with Geshe Michael. I have really bad ADD, like terrible. I can't keep my mind on the object. My mind is constantly like this. But when I do a Tonglen meditation, I can focus really, really well. And I don't know if it's like the compassion aspect of it, or I would ask you for your ideas, but you can't talk. But I've done that meditation like pretty much every day for about 12 years, and you can just do it walking down the street. It doesn't have to be 35 minutes. It can be 5 minutes. It could be like, you know, you have a lunch break at work. You can go sit outside in the park for 10 minutes, and you can do it on anyone. Like some guy in the park who looks lonely, or a homeless person, or your annoying coworker. It's really good to do it actually on people you don't like. I had this girl at my martial arts school who, I don't know, we just had this karma. She was really, really mean to me. And one day I was like, I'm going to fix her. And I went to the school and I sat down. I mean, this was like, I couldn't even believe how fast this karma ripened. But I went and I sat down and I did Tonglen on her. And I opened my eyes and she walked past me and she smiled. That was really cool. So, I mean, that's a really cool thing about Tonglen is you do it on people you know, and then, like, it's an experiment, and you can actually see if it works, you know? If it doesn't work, throw it away. But if it does work, then it's, like, the super, super cool thing you can do. And, like, the person you're doing it on doesn't ever have to know you're doing it on them, you know? So if they change towards you, like, can you really take someone's pain away from them? Or if someone's attitude changes towards you, is it because they suddenly decided that you're this really cool person and they were wrong about you all this time? Like, what changed? Did they change? What changed? Yeah. The Tibetans, they say that this... Oh, boy. I can't do it. They say this changed, right? Like, your mind, we all go like this. The Tibetans say this is where, you know, this changed. So, like... You could think about, I feel very frustrated, like I can't change the world fast enough, and people are dying too fast, or there's like too much fighting, or like I just feel totally helpless. But you can just get on your cushion and you can just change the world this way, right? Like you could go sign a lot of petitions. Or you could send money to the guy in Afghanistan who's building all those schools for girls. I really like him, and I do send him money. You know, or you could sit on your cushion, and you could change the war this way, right? So, I don't have anything else to say. Thank you, guys. Dinner will be in the... Oh, you have like a half-hour break, I guess, before dinner. If you want to play with the horses, meet Kevin at the feed barn at 4 p.m. daily. Feed the horses, not play with the horses. Want some special time? Meet or look for Lily at the barn between 1 and 2. Is that our Lily? Or is it the camp's Lily? The camp's Lily. Okay. Can we ride the horses? I've got to feed a horse last year. I grew up like in the suburbs where we don't have horses, and I got to feed a horse, and it was like the most exciting thing. I'm still excited about feeding this horse a year ago. I think everyone should go feed these horses. Just one last thing about the Tonglen. Excuse me. You can do it on yourself. If you're having a bad day, or like if you're very sick, or if you have a problem with depression, then you can practice it on yourself. Or if you know, like I had this very difficult boss, and if I knew I was going to have a really bad day with him, I would do Tonglen on myself the day before, and it generally worked to make the day go a little easier. So the person in the room that you go to visit, your friend, it would just be yourself. You just split yourself in two. You do Tonglen on yourself in the future. Can I explain it tonight? Oh, yeah. Everybody in this room who's a teacher can explain it tonight. No? You can't explain it tonight. Oh, can I explain it? So fun. I wish we could just play charades all day. Yeah, okay. So tonight, after dinner? Do we have a break after dinner? No? Okay. After dinner, everyone's going to split up into these groups that are up there. I tried to do them by bunk as much as I could, but we wanted to have small groups of like four or five, so some of your bunk mates, you're split up. I'm sorry. And then the teachers want to know what they're teaching about you. I heard the same thing you did. So basically, you're going to go through the 10 virtues, and you're going to explain them. And you can explain the concentric circle theory. And tomorrow, you're going to teach the four powers. So tomorrow morning session will be, everyone will stay in the same groups, and you'll go there and teach four powers. And you can teach the book. Oh, what time tomorrow? Same time as usual for meditation. Whatever that time says, the first meditation schedule, the first meditation time will be in the individual cabins. So let's see, 10 virtues, 10 non-virtues, the book. And I think just to like really go into detail about it, like Geshe-la said, you know, I know you're all thinking, oh my God, this is going to take me 5 minutes, but really people will have questions and you can go into quite a bit of detail, probably much more than you think. Can you talk? Can the teachers talk? Yes. No, they can write notes. Yeah, so if you're not a teacher, you can write a note and ask your question that way. Bring a notebook and a pen. If you are a teacher, you can talk. It'll just be, forget it. I know someone in 3-year retreat who plans on teaching someone the tantric series. The Diamond Mountain people will appreciate this. Everyone else will just, who cares? Anyway, he's planning on teaching the tantric series on a whiteboard. We're not going to do that. Just talk. It'll be easier. Yeah. Pray for him. Are there any other notes? Anyone else have other questions? Oh, we're supposed to do a book. You want to do a book? You want to talk? Oh. If anybody wants a massage who didn't get put on my list, can you give your name to Laura? Laura will give your name to me. Are we teaching the book? Yeah, I think you should teach the book. I think people learned the book over dinner the other night, but maybe they didn't learn it so in depth. So yes, please teach the book. What about four powers? Four powers is tomorrow morning.